Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome to the Renaissance English History Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Tesco. This is a special supplementary episode, one of the Tutorifying the Quarantine interviews I was doing early on when the lockdowns first began. So the sound isn't the greatest because it was a Zoom call, but I think the content is awesome. So I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Michael Ratty talking about his new musical, The King's Legacy. And I hope you will be forgiving of the sound issues. These Zoom calls don't have the greatest sound. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this supplementary episode.
Are you? Thank you for being part of this Tutorify the Quarantine
thing. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again, Michael.
It's been kind of like sad for me not knowing if TutorCon if I'm going to be able to go this year. And I was like, oh man, I met so many great people last year. But now everything's up in the air. So it's lovely to see your faces. And here we are. We'll figure it out as we all go, right?
Right? It's just an exercise in letting it go and letting it be and seeing what happens.
I admit people now. I see.
Oh, and you know what? I don't know why it had me having to admit people. That was so weird because the other meeting, it didn't have that.
Well, that's all right. I'll just try to keep tabs when I'm not screen sharing.
Okay. Yeah. And if people...
Maybe in the new security, you have to let them in.
I know. To start with, it said that you have to... have a password, but then I was able to go in and edit that out. So at first this meeting had a password, but then it didn't. And so I, and now letting people in. Yeah. I think they're doing a lot with weird security things. So,
Well, I just tried to let Meg in and then she disappeared.
Here for half a minute.
Well, hopefully she'll come back.
Hopefully she will. All right. So for people who have not heard of you before or seen you before, which it's hard to imagine that anybody hasn't been exposed to the awesomeness that is you, but tell me about the King's Legacy and who you are and why you're here tutorifying things.
Absolutely. All right. So my name's Michael Ratty. I'm a writer, musical theater writer and performer, also a musical director and a vocal coach. I live in New York City. I teach kids for my survival job on Long Island. And in my career life, I write musical theater mostly, and I mostly perform in the summers these days. But the King's Legacy is one of my original musicals. It's the third musical I had started, and it's the only one that's actually gotten a production. So woohoo, go King's Legacy. But I started it way back in 2012 because I adore Anne Boleyn, and I felt that her story has been, it's been told many ways, but there was a way that I wanted to tell it. And I thought it deserved the musical theater treatment. Because the only musical that existed at all about Tudor England is called Rex, and it was written in the 70s. It did not do very well, and it's mostly about Henry. And so I started the process of writing King's Legacy, and it's been a very long journey. It's had a lot of different iterations, but it found a structural home after about 4 years. And so I've been working with that version and honing things in and trying new things out through readings and small workshops, different casts, Broadway stars, some of them sometimes just casual in my apartment. And then finally this past summer at the Bristol Valley Theater in Naples, New York, we had our premiere production, which went swimmingly. It went so well, so much better than I could have hoped for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. And then you also came to TutorCon too, so.
And then I came to TutorCon. So a lot of people that follow you have heard my voice or seen my face already and heard some of the music, which we got to do live in concert, which was awesome.
Yeah.
That was such a great time.
That was so awesome. So you tell this story about how you first kind of got tuned into the Tudors because it was through Philippa Gregory and a girlfriend's book or something like that, right?
Well, I first learned about the Tudors from my sister had gone abroad in college. Okay. And when she came back, one of her gifts for me, she was studying in York, one of her gifts for me was a Horrible Histories, the Terrible Tudors. So I was reading that through and I was like, these people are very interesting. And I was particularly drawn to Henry, Anne, and Elizabeth. And then I didn't really pursue learning more about them. But whenever I saw stuff that had to do with the Tudors, whether it was a book or a film or a TV show, I would always put it on because I was so interested. And then I thought to myself, this would make a great musical story. but never really did anything about it. And then I started writing musical theater in college, which I kind of fell into in a weird way. And then, yeah, it was after my senior year, I was reading The Other Boleyn Girl, my girlfriend's copy at the time. And I finished it and I was kind of mad because I didn't really like the portrayal of Anne Boleyn. And I was like, ah, but it's such a good story. Someone needs to write this musical. And she was like, well, why don't you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of sat on it for like another year, but then I finally started it.
Awesome.
Well, that's how we got here.
Would you play us some music now?
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I was thinking about the songs that I really like, but I might make a special request of you later. And I love the one where the two guys are just, well, The King's Legacy is what it's called, right? And like it has so many cute little puns and stuff like that. And it's all jaunty. And I love that one. But maybe
it's an act two comedy song. Because who doesn't like an act two comedy song? Sure. Yeah, I was thinking... I was thinking maybe I'd focus a little more on the women's songs to begin with, because one of the things that I have found to be so fun about writing this show is there are so many women in the story who often get short shrift, who I wanted to bring in and uplift. And so the cast is five women and a young girl, and then three men. So it was really fun for me to write for women's voices for this whole thing. So, we can start with a comedy song if that sounds more fun.
I don't want to, I don't want to mess up your flow. So
oh, no, I just have like a list going over here. I was like, I don't know, maybe these songs. You know what? Let's start with The King's Legacy, because why not?
Okay. All right.
How do we do the screen sharing again? This button.
There was the share button down below.
Oh, I also pulled up the teaser trailer video that I had created.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to play that too?
Yeah, play us that.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Because this is with footage from the summer's production.
Okay.
I pushed it out of control.
I pushed it out of control.
I did, and I swear I don't regret it.
Another war.
Our son supposedly would help.
But Mary's full of fear and rage.
Elizabeth has come of age.
Little Edward's sick and won't engage.
And now the country's fate is center stage.
Our darling Tudor.
Amazing voices.
Yeah, it was a great cast. I got very, very lucky.
Yeah.
And I love the, it was cool to see the costumes. Can you tell me anything about, obviously there are people who do costumes. What kind of input did you have in the costumes and how, tell me about that. Oh, you've muted yourself.
I back?
Oh, now you're back. Yeah.
So sorry, trying to figure all this out.
That's okay. I know it's a lot to manage.
The costumes. I have a fabulous costume designer. Her name is Sammy Miller, and although I think she goes by Samantha Miller in professional life, but We know her, Sammy. I love her so much. She is one of the biggest Tudor nerds I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And so we had been talking about this show since I first brought it up to her that I was writing it, I think in 2015. We were working at the Bristol Valley Theater. I don't think we were working on the same show at the same time, but we were staying at the same host family's house. Mm-hmm. And we just discovered our mutual love for the Tudors, and we nerded out so hardcore. It was wonderful. Awesome. And so when I was talking to her about the show, she was like, whenever you do this, it's me. I'm doing this show with you. And so when luckily BVT was the one who decided to put on the premiere production, I was like, well, I know who my costume designer is. So we had talked about things a bit, but I kind of like let her just do her thing because I trust her. I mean, I know she knows the history. She knows she's a fantastic costume designer as it is. And so as part of doing this show for this summer, because there's only so much budget allotted for a summer stock production, and we knew that this was going to be a big show. So I had done a little extra fundraising for more of the budget so we could especially increase the costume budget. We knew it was going to be tough. And you would be shocked to know how small that budget was that made those beautiful costumes. And a lot of it was from material that she just like, she found and she built these pieces. And so a lot of the pieces she wants to continue building as the show moves forward, which would be wonderful, but nothing on the horizon yet for a new production. So we'll see.
Well, we will keep our fingers crossed.
Yes. I have to say though, specifically, I loved the doublet that I wore. It was so comfortable, and I've never had such a nice torso shape in my life.
Why did you not wear it to TudorCon?
Oh, because it doesn't belong to me. Okay. If it did, trust me, I'd have worn it. That thing was great.
So I want you to play some more music for us, but also before you do that, I just have to interject that Kendra was on video for like half a minute right there, and she had amazing hair. So it was really gorgeous. And there it is.
Thank you. The blue hair.
My kids are going crazy and being like screaming loud outside because it's the first nice day we've had in 2 weeks. So yeah. A lot of fun.
I love your hair.
Thank you. Inspired by, you know, stuck inside.
Right?
Oh yeah.
So blue hair, so play us some more music and tell us about some more music that you're gonna play for us.
Great. So I've got a song. So this was one of the newest songs written for the show. So before the production this summer, I was doing a lot of talking with our director, Chris Hanley, and we were trying to get the show in shape for the summer production. And as part of that, there were a couple things that I knew were missing that I really wanted to write. So there were, I think, two brand new songs for the show. And this was the last song I had written right before the show had to be frozen so we could get it all set for the production. And it is a musical sequence. I've pulled up the script and I'll kind of like scroll through if that's possible. I don't know if it'll show up on the screen share so you can understand what's happening. It's very complex. It's like a 6-minute musical scene with these different sections where we see Anne Boleyn kind of rising up in Henry's eyes and how she like worked her way into his life and getting him interested in her. So this also happened to be people's favorite song this summer. I polled people throughout the summer and this was the one that was always top of the list.
Yeah.
All right, so
Marry upward, right, father? Have you been watching her? She's different, this one.
Not that different.
This week's shiny object.
Mind, attend, follow, Mistress Anne.
Quick pause. Can you see the script when I pulled it up?
I don't see the script.
All right, I'll see if I can finagle that while it plays. All right, continuing.
I like her lively fashion. It's quite smart.
It's a game.
But if she wants his notice, that's the key.
We shall see.
Leviticus. Any man who lies with his brother's wife will remain childless.
But you're not childless.
Heirless then, without a son. And Leviticus is God's law.
Yes, but the counter-argument is also God's law. And it is stronger.
Henry, the Pope's dispensation was legal and just within the church.
But only within the church.
The Queen is in the gardens if you'd like to join.
And who is this?
Mistress Anne Boleyn. Go on.
Henry.
What do you mean?
The dispensation is legal within the bounds of the church. But you, all of you, just said that the arguments being made are that of God's law, not church law. Even the Pope would recognize that he could not dispense with God's law.
Now that is an argument worth pursuit. Do you not agree, Cardinal?
It may be, Your Majesty.
Let us find out. Thank you, Mistress Anne.
There's a little pause while they change the scene.
So that was the 6-minute musical beast that I wrote right before this show was going to happen.
That's awesome. I'm interested in how you portray Anne in there, and how other people were seeing Anne in that follow, mind, attend refrain. Talk to me about how you decided on that.
Well, one of the things that,
Sorry, I didn't mean to catch off guard.
No, that's a good question. One of the things that I really wanted to do was portray the complexity of how she rose in court, specifically in Henry's eyes, and how mm-hmm. it was not just about her looks by any way, shape, or form, which is where so many people put the emphasis. And I wanted to show that her wit, her intelligence, that she was someone that he enjoyed to be around, and that he was not the only one who was taking notice and was not the only one enamored with her. And when you're watching the video, you can see how her interactions with specifically the other men at court, like everyone's very interested in her. And then I was like, well, I have to utilize the guys throughout this whole process. I wonder if there's a way where I can utilize the women and have just these court ladies kind of narrating their opinions on her as you're going through the musical scene. So we can see how some people like her, some people don't. There's this undeniable energy about her, and she's definitely caused waves, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's enjoying her presence at court.
I see. Well, I kind of picked up on like the juxtaposition between like what women were supposed to be doing, following, minding, and attending, and her saying she's not one to be led. And, you know, but also that pull with the portrayal of how in the past people have shown like that maybe Thomas Boleyn was trying to pimp out his daughters and like all that kind of stuff. And just this taking the agency away from her for herself. And I feel like in your song, you kind of gave her some of that back.
Yeah, well, that's been my biggest goal and also struggle with this show, has been making certain that Anne is the protagonist and that she has agency the entire time. Because I am a firm believer that, sure, I mean, we cannot deny that her family had a lot to do with why she was there and what she ended up doing. However, I fully believe that she had the agency to be the person to hook Henry and then keep him for a decade. Mm-hmm. Like, that just seems undeniable to me. And even just the way that people talk about her historically, whether it's positive or negative, they talk a lot about her. There is something there. So I really wanted to make sure that my Anne Boleyn had agency throughout the entire show. Mm. And that's been tricky to do, because you know what? A lot of people do not find a woman with agency to be an appealing protagonist. And that's been hard to put together.
Gosh, golly, like 500 years later, it just seems like that should be a little bit different, but.
I agree. And hence my show. But I will say, coming off of the summer's production, and it wasn't perfect, there were still things that I have tweaked since, that I want to continue tweaking about her journey specifically, and making sure that she is viewed as an empathetic, sympathetic, likable human being who has goals and desires that connect to everybody. But I will say that coming off the summer production, no one told me that they disliked Anne. And that is the first time ever in this journey that no one told me that they disliked her. So that was a big step.
Yay. That's cool. Yeah, it's always interesting to see how people portray her it's funny because I kind of want to ask you this question about what it's like for you writing the perspective of women being a man, but I kind of also think that's sort of sexist, because you wouldn't ask, I mean, I don't know, maybe you would ask a woman what it's like writing men from that perspective, and then you start getting into all kinds of depth of like way more philosophical than I want to get into right now. But what kind of research did you do around that, and like, what was it like for you, even just not women, men, regardless, just writing these personalities from 500 years ago and trying to understand their, what was pushing them, and then turning that into music. Like, what was that process like?
Well, it was hard. It was long.
Yeah.
I've consumed so much information, articles, books, also the fiction. I feel like it was really important for me to see how these characters were, these people were being portrayed as characters in other forms of fiction, and what that would mean for people, mm-hmm. how people reacted to those characters in those specific portrayals. It's so hard to write complex people to begin with, but when their story is also extraordinarily complex, that muddied the waters for me. So,
and then you add 500 years worth of other people telling it on top of
right. Yeah, and that's one of the things that I was trying to not let stand in my way. So, like, some of the biggest research I tried to do up front was, okay, what has everyone said about these people, specifically Anne and Henry, over the past 500 years? Give me the dirtiest and give me the best. And just not just the contemporaries, but also, like, how have people since talked about them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this gigantic gap right after Anne's death of, mm-hmm. like, 200 years where nobody talks about her.
Yeah.
At all. Like, yeah. What her contemporaries said, just that's it. That's what people thought, if they thought about her at all. And I found that fascinating too. Like, why did she re-enter the public consciousness?
And then there was like Agnes Strickland and the Victorians who had all their ideas about her.
And then like everybody latched on, and then there's just so much that came from that. It's fascinating to me. So I did a lot of that kind of research. And as far as writing their music, I don't know. Each of them kind of came to me with a sound, and I wanted to work within those motifs, in those sounds. I don't know. It's hard to describe the composition process in general.
Right, no, I'm sure. You said something there, and it made me think of something, but I've forgotten what it was, and it was something I wanted to ask.
That is my life. I do that all the time.
Do you really? Yes. I thought it was just after I turned 40, like losing my brain. But
oh, no, that's me. All the time.
All the time. Okay, great. Oh, sugar. I might think of it. Anyway, you did, speaking of music, you did try to incorporate some early music sounds into your musical kit. Maybe you can talk to me about that and maybe play some of that.
Sure. So writing musical theater is, a lot of people talk about how musical theater has its own very specific sound. Like, you can tell immediately if a song is from a musical. I think that's less so these days. Like, I mean, honestly, the first time I heard some of Six, I was like, oh, someone wrote a pop album about Six. And then they told me it was a show. I was like, oh, well, yeah. Cool. But, you know, that sounds like a pop album. But one of the things that I really wanted to make sure that we got was a sense from the musical atmosphere of where we are, what time period, what country. So even right away from the very, very first draft of this thing, I tried to incorporate music from the time period. I wrote a madrigal, a three-voiced madrigal that was a part of the very, very first iteration of this show, and it's basically unchanged. Some of the lyrics have changed, but I wanted to make sure that my style was being mixed with the style of the time period, and then that was going to kind of roll out and create the atmosphere. So there's that. The ending of the show is written like an English anthem, essentially. Mm-hmm. And what else? I have little snippets of music from the time period throughout. Yeah, I can't think of anything else specific off the top of my head, though.
Well, can you play your madrigal? Is that handy? Can you find it?
Sure.
If you can't find it, don't worry about it.
No, I've got it here. I've got all the demos around. Let's see. By the way, did you see the script after I changed it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'll see if I can do that again. Where is... Church, The Sounds of Spring. Here we are. So this, again, this is a musical montage here where you get the first verse and you get the verse and then you get the verse with the crossing voices and then there's a scene and then you get the second verse, and very much in the style of Madrigals of the time period, it is secular. It is written about imagery of nature, and so often is our seasons a part of that. And so this is in act two, it's mid act two. We are seeing the cracks forming, seeing the cracks forming in the relationship between Anne and Henry, based off of specifically the births and the way that Anne is pushing for Elizabeth to be put in the line of succession. So let's see, doing the screen share.
Sounds of spring spring forth from you with boundless joy they dance. The sounds of spring bring warmth from you, they light and spark romance. The summer winds rush in, the sun upon our skin. Our love to fill, our hearts to brim, our lovers rolling in. The sounds of spring spring forth from you in boundless joy they dance. The sounds of spring bring warmth from you, they light and spark romance. The summer winds rush in, the sun upon our skin. The sun to fill our hearts to brim, our lovers rolling in.
I know, my love. I am heartbroken.
Are you?
You don't mean that.
I don't. I'm sorry. You're certain it was a boy?
I know that you are disappointed, but I still have time. It's all right. We will try again and we will have a son, a little brother for our little princess.
Like the first boy you promised.
What?
Yes, my love. We will.
Did Parliament pass the new Act of Succession today, or have they stalled again? Henry?
Why are you pushing so hard to make Elizabeth next in line over Mary? If you're so certain about having a son, all of this could wait.
But what if something were to happen to the child, or to me, during childbirth? Wouldn't you want your line secure?
Elizabeth is not a son, and she never will be one.
She is an excellent heir. She's already capable well beyond her age. She's kind and intelligent, and a mischievous little spitfire. No one could ever doubt that she was your daughter. And a far better legitimate choice over Catherine's ragged offspring.
Yes, love. Worry not. Your act of succession has passed. Elizabeth is next in line.
Good.
For now. Then it will be my son.
I feel a frigid autumn chill within my bones it lies. I feel a chill from all the hill, the sunlight flees and dies. The winter came upon, a steely frozen dawn. We thought perchance we'd keep our cheer, but no, perhaps next year. I feel a frigid autumn chill.
We just think.
You've made it all too clear what you think,
Henry.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty, we simply believe this focus on a son is potentially doing more harm than good.
But to think of taking a new wife now with Anne still so young.
And a Catholic one after breaking from the church.
And to imprison the Queen would be insane.
On exorbitant charges nonetheless.
Anne is still Queen with a legitimate daughter.
And Elizabeth is a well-loved child.
An excellent heir.
Enough! I've had it with your nagging. You two have run out your use. Leave my court and stay out.
Henry.
Get out.
The winter came upon, a steely frozen dawn. We thought perchance we'd keep our cheer, but no, perhaps next year.
We thought perchance we'd keep our cheer, but build the house next year.
Yay.
Yeah, that one.
That was kind of like Thomas Morley, huh? With I heard each with his bonny lass upon the greeny grass in there.
You've got me pegged. I listened to a lot of Morley.
Yeah. Well, there's no one better there. That was awesome. That was really cool. I really like that.
Well, thank you. That's one of those songs that is really helpful to show kind of how far I would take it in the musical as to portraying the atmosphere, but it's also really hard to do out of context, just like four people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that was cool. I'm just trying to think that I was just kind of like, you kind of just like, I'm spaced out now because I was just in this magical world. And so I'm not really sure what to ask you right now. So maybe you can just like,
great. Well, we can move forward to,
we have a little bit. And also, you know, people, if Kendra or anybody has questions, they want to ask or type, I think Kendra is still muted and I can't unmute her cause you're the host now, but you don't have, I think she might want to be muted anyway because she's with her kids. So if she mm-hmm. wants to type a question or if, Tina wants to jump in or anything, that
is there any chance it'll be played again?
Oh yes. It's most certainly going to happen again. I just don't know yet where and when, but we're working on it.
So you'll let us know.
Oh, absolutely. I will certainly keep everyone
informed. You have a group of hardcore fans here that, yeah, I think we're going to have to organize a road trip to wherever you are, yeah. You know?
We'll go wherever. That'd be fantastic. We'll go wherever.
Well, I will say, though, I'm trying to work out for during this, you know, lovely quarantine, I'm trying to work out something with the theater that we can hopefully do a live stream of the film from the summer later this month. Yes, so here's the hoping that we can actually figure that out, because right now there's a lot of logistics that go into it, but it'd be really fun to revisit that. I had hired a videographer who did like a full stage shot and also all these close-ups, and I edited the whole thing together. And so I've got this great video, as you can see from the teaser trailer, like the footage is good. And yeah, I'd really love to share that. Even though the show's changed already since the summer, it'd be really fun to share, yeah, what we actually did with people who, you know, would like to see it and who couldn't this summer.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. I will definitely update you if it's gonna happen.
Yes, please. That's very exciting. Very exciting.
Oh, Kendra, you guys still talk about it in your group chat? Oh.
Oh yeah, we get together. We chat like every couple of days, and it's always tutor related, and we always talk about the performance at the church. So,
yeah. Well, which was so much fun for me, yeah, like just to watch everybody and see everyone's reactions and hear what you all had to say afterwards. That was a lot of fun that night.
That was awesome. We have a couple. I don't know. We have a couple more minutes here. What else would you like to play for us? What else? And I just realized, because you're playing music, like, can we talked about recording this. Is this okay to post afterwards? Because like, you have the rights because you're the composer, right? So can I go ahead and post this places?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yep. Okay. The music is mine. I think we'll have to chat about giving credit to the people on the recordings, but I think, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, I could play, let's see. I know, Heather, that you really like A Tudor Rose, the women's ballad.
Yeah.
A Queen of England is a lot of people's favorites because that's the big one. She's about to be beheaded. And let's see. Oh, and then everyone really loves one of Catherine's songs. It's very short. It's called I See. I think we did that one at the concert at TudorCon. But that one's super short. Let me play that one. Everyone loves this song. This is right after, this is mid act one. And they just did the pageant and the mask. And Henry and Anne clearly shared a moment during this. And as in the production, the dance was slowly fizzling out and people were being kind of dismissed from court, Catherine in this like dreamlike state sang the song as she came and ultimately after this confronts Anne for the first time. So let's do a screen share. All right.
Daily I sit and observe, watch as they all find the nerve to chase what they think they deserve. Yes, I see ladies who want something more, men seeking glory and war. The man whom I'll always adore. Yes, I see
Catherine has always been the queen I admire most, Kendra says. Yeah.
I love Catherine Faragon so much. She is absolutely singular in history. There's just so much to be said.
Yeah. I love her too, but you know, sometimes I get a little frustrated with just how stubborn she was.
Yeah.
Because, you know... I mean, you're not going to win that one. Surely after having been married to him for 20 years and the King of France had just done it to Claude and sent her away to a nunnery. She saw that happened. Her own sister had been locked away. She saw that happen. I mean, like he offers you this nice life in a convent. And I mean, like, I don't know. To me, it's just kind of like,
and she could have
really,
seen her daughter,
really then. Think you're going to win this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made it harder for Mary.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from Mary. I understand. I find it a little frustrating. There are times when I really, because I, you know, Mary came out so much worse anyway and never got married because like her legitimacy and what, and where did she stand and all of that. I think Henry would have been willing to recognize her the way he recognized Henry Fitzroy and set, you know, married her and set her up with a marriage, and now here she wound up living a pretty miserable life anyway. And so there are times when I get very frustrated with Catherine.
I agree. And I agree.
But yeah,
Mary and Catherine could have visited each other if she would have given in. It would have been a whole different life.
Yeah.
Though I would like to counter all of this with,
please,
ultimately, Henry didn't have to be such a jerk.
Well, there is that too.
Like, it's so easy to blame Catherine for her actions, but you know, he didn't have to do what he did to her. And so really it's my frustration really comes at Henry, because why did he have to be so awful about it? He was going to do whatever he wanted no matter what.
Yeah. Or to blame Anne for what happened to Catherine. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's also so hard for us. we can sit around here and say, oh, I'm frustrated by this, or oh, that I agree with that, or whatever. Like, it's so hard to judge what we would have done 500 years ago with the,
right,
you know, and also with Catherine, if she really truly believed that she was putting her soul in peril by agreeing to something that she didn't actually agree to, then, mm-hmm, you know, what's this life compared to eternity? So you got to go with that.
Yeah.
And for Henry,
he had precedent. Kings did this. So he was expected to get permission from Rome, just like other kings had.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course, we have to also talk about those circumstances, because at the end of the day, if things politically weren't where they were, he would have gotten that divorce.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, who ultimately can you put blame on?
It was like the perfect storm of
things
going wrong.
Which is why it's so fascinating, why we love the story so much.
Yeah, true.
It's true, because there's stuff we can talk about and think about and write music about, even all this time later.
Yeah. Do we want to play one more?
Let's play one more if you have the time.
Yeah,
let's do it.
The Queen of England? Yeah, Queen of England.
All right, that I can do.
And Kendra seconds that. Yes.
Okay, great. Screen share. And this technology is so cool. I'm so pleased with this. Have fun.
I did it, Father, haven't you seen? You didn't bother to congratulate your queen. Watch as your daughter is sent now to slaughter. I worked my magic, I cast out my spell. It seems so tragic how quickly I fell. No surprise, is it? Will anyone visit my cell? Every little thing you do will have an effect. I was queen and now I'm through. It's time to collect. Do what you do. Go on, be bold. But always remember, it comes back threefold.
The prince's mother, through duty and pain. A little brother, my loss, Henry's gain. But now that I'm buried, I fear that I carried in vain.
Every little thing you do will have an effect. I was queen and now I'm through. It's time to collect.
Do what you do. Go on, be bold. But always remember, it comes back threefold.
What you give is what you get, and we get what we deserve.
You labor and you sweat to stay ahead of the curve.
But if your work is tainted and you find that you're acquainted with a family who is painted, you are fate without choice.
Then you struggle and you glower and escape from Howard Tower until you have all the power to destroy with your voice.
I was a queen of England.
And now I'm through, it's time to collect.
Do what you do.
Go on, be bold.
But always remember,
it comes back threefold.
It comes back tenfold.
Behold, how did I let it spiral out of control? To sacrifice and pay the price, to give up my soul. I was a queen. England.
That's actually a song from the original version of the show.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Bravo. Oh. I want to be throwing virtual flowers at you now. Bravo.
You know what's really interesting about that song in context, though? And this is something I did not expect. So I was in the show this summer, which was for a few reasons, and I got the opportunity to really see as well as hear audience reaction in that theater, which was very, very cool for me. But I, prior to doing the actual production in any reading or any like concert version, that one always got like this great forward energy as far as how people reacted to it. There's always like that yay and the applause sort of feeling. In context, though, silence. Yeah. Like people were so disturbed by it because of what you see on stage. Like, and I was the executioner in our production.
Oh, wow.
Which was like having the sword and like seeing people's fear enter into their eyes as I walked out and they saw the sword in my hands and how that all went, like, ooh, I'm not sure. Like, of course I wrote it with those intentions, but after the reactions of so many years, I was like, wow, okay, that is different. And it was very cool to be in that room and feel that experience, because I was like, good, I'm glad people are connecting with her story and how god-awful this was.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's so easy to romanticize it and to turn it into something more than what it was. And it was really terrible. It was murder. It was just right was there. Murder. Yeah.
And our director was...
How many times I watched The Tudors, it makes me cry.
Yeah.
The execution. Doesn't matter whether I watched it 20 times. Still mm-hmm. make me cry.
And I think it was wonderfully done on The Tudors. And our director did something really, really cool with, so the beginning when Anne is singing alone on stage, she stripped off all of her top layers and just went down to her base costume, like her white shirt, her white pants, and her boots, and that was it. And she took off her bee necklace and everything, and just watching her strip down to the bare minimum right before she was going to die, like, it was powerful. It was heartbreaking.
Great theater. Yeah, great theater.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I really hope I get to show the video to everyone.
Oh yeah, you've built it up now so much.
It's all those just like little clips in the teaser video. I wish. Hopefully. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to keep us updated. Okay, so we are coming up on, we've gone over an hour now, but we chatted, had technology going on in the beginning there. So where can people find out more about you? Plug your YouTubes and your whatever you have, your SoundClouds, whatever it is you have, plug that all. And how can we support you, and how can we support bringing this to life again?
Wonderful. Excellent questions. Thank you. You can learn more about me and everything I do on michaelraddy.com. That's R-A-D-I. And that's where I have basically all the information about what I do in addition to my musical theater, as well as the musicals I've written. So there's that. The King's Legacy has its own website, which is thekingslegacymusical.com. And on there, you can see all of our production photos and video and hear music from the summer and from previous versions. All news, all everything about the show is available there. And as far as where else, on YouTube, it's the Michael Raddy channel, though I find that if you type into the search bar The King's Legacy Musical, all videos will pop up, so that's good to know. And I have a Patreon now. Thank you to the suggestions of everyone at TutorCon who was like, get a Patreon. I was like, oh, yeah, no, okay, yeah, sure. So that's patreon.com/MichaelRatty. And I post everything I do now. I recently changed it up. So no, it's not just about King's Legacy. It's not just about the musicals I write. It's everything I do. Because I have a weekly blog that's about theater. I all like these behind the scenes things of how I do things in my life and what I'm up to, as well as everything related to the King's Legacy. There are demos on there that no one's heard before. So if you sign up to be a patron, you can hear some of these demos of music that I wrote after the summer's production.
I'm doing that right now. I didn't even know about that.
And currently I don't have things tiered out. I may in the future, but as of now, you can pretty much sign up at any level, even just $1 a month to get some of these perks. So.
Fun. All right. Yep. There it is. Look at that. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Okay. I'm going to stop that right now because I'm going to talk to you. but I'm going to do it when I'm done here. Okay. That song's so powerful. Yeah. Kendra said that song's so powerful. I get goosebumps and all the feels. I need feels. I need to spend some time catching up. Life is crazy busy.
Solis semlis on sich, mens cul maiden of nicht feren freit fonde, in all this world flich one bur blood and...
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.